When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And on today's show, we have Sam Junk. Hey, Sam.
Hi,
hey,
Sam.
Hey guys. Hello.
Hello. We are so excited to finally have you on the show. I feel like we've been scheduling as mishaps, and but we finally got you today, so we're excited to chat. Before we get into all the fun stuff, though, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and giving them a background on how you got into photography?
My name is Sam. Hello, everybody. I'm a photographer based in LA. I'm from China. I came to LA to study filmmaking. And now I
makes sense.
Take pictures and make YouTube videos, and that's about it. I started to take pictures when I was like 14, I guess. I have this like tiny little digicam, you know, those CCD cam, is somehow got really popular recently. I just took pictures of like random things like classroom, bus stop and stuff, because I often feel like I don't have much memories, so I just first start to take pictures to help remember things. Yeah, that's just how I start doing photography.
We forget that that's kind of the point of photography, is like to capture memories, you know. We all get caught up in like, you know, the gear and everything else, but it's really for capturing life memories at its core, I feel like. Maybe not for everybody, but I relate to that, especially now that I have kids.
So I came here to study filmmaking, and then after getting out of school, I started to working as a portrait wedding photographer for a few years. So before I do all the film photography, I actually worked with digital photography for years. I pretty much did everything portrait related, from like newborn to kids to like maternity, birthday party, graduation, everything. I even did a birth documentary for a while, and that was pretty cool. I also did behind the scenes set photography. That was awesome. I really enjoyed doing that.
Well, I was just going to say, is this all stuff you went, like, did you go to school for photography? Was that?
Yeah. I went to school for photography, okay, like, before I came to LA to study filmmaking.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, I actually learned a lot of, like, the film stuff back when I was in school, but it's been, like, so long, because right after that, I just started like jumping into like everything digital. Like I don't really remember much, so I now pretty much like relearn everything. Film. Since I started to work as a paid photographer, I started to learn like how to run business, how to talk to clients, what's trending, what people like. So on and so forth. And I was like trying to learn all the styles of a portrait that people would like consumer client wise. And I would like say yes to everything. Like, can you do like light and airy? Yes. Can you do dark and moody? Yes. Can you cut down your price by $200? I was be like, yes.
No.
Yeah. I even had people like send me photographs of other photographers' work and be like, can you do this? I'd be like, yes. And then like I study that photographer's work and trying to like do what they do so I would like get paid to do the job. But later, you know, you just realize that you can't do everything. That's the one thing I learned later. But I've done that for so long. Like I shot so many things that other people ask me to shoot. And I feel like at one point, I just don't even know what I want to shoot anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
I struggled at one point because like I realized taking good photos and then running a good photo business is a completely different thing. And I just feel like I'm so bad at the business side of it.
That's why I just shoot for hobby, because the business side just, I'm not a good collection person. Like I need, you know, I need somebody that's going to go out and collect all the money and stuff and do all that stuff. Because I just, I'm so like shy and introverted when it comes to needing things like that, you know, money. But the business side just is that what you do? Are you basically a full-time photographer now, or?
I was a full-time photographer for a few years, like after I got out of school. I remember one day, like me and a couple of other like photographer friends, we were like sitting together and talking about like what we want to do in the future, like what's our goal. We all like shoot like wedding and portrait stuff, and One person said, I just want to make money, like shooting wedding and stuff. And then one said, I want to have an exhibition. And then we all like talked and laughed about like we will have an exhibition full of like wedding photos. And I think that's the moment it kind of like kicked me in the head. And I all of a sudden look back and realize that all of the photos I shot in the past few years, I feel like those are not my photos, and I can't make a body of work out of all of the client work I shot.
Yeah. Right?
And later, around the same time, I like started digging up into my hard drives, my old hard drives, and I saw like the photos I took when I was in college. I had this Minolta X700. That's pretty much the first camera I started this whole journey again on YouTube. I took a lot of, like street shot and like travel photos. They're like very simple pictures, and some of them are like really bad. But I just love how simple and how bad they are. They are. I feel like they're not made for sale. They're not made for please the client. Mm-hmm. And they're not made for getting the likes on social media. They're just like my pictures I took out of just wanted to take a picture. That kind of sounds dumb, but
no, I mean I totally get it. I have binders of like the first couple years I was getting into film of just stuff that I would never share. Maybe I shared it at the time to like friends and family and stuff like that, but I'm sure you learned so much about film and photography and all kinds of fun stuff while you were shooting that X700 though. Like I bet it was a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, when I look at those pictures, I don't even remember how I took them. Like it's been so long, like the memory just like fade away.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is I feel so attached to those just bad and random photos than any of the digital photos I took over the years. I just look at them and feel like they're my picture, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's when I decided to slow down. And I, at one point last year, I think last year was the year I pretty much stopped working as a paid photographer. I did a lot of second shoot for weddings last year, but I stopped doing like portraits and all of that, I got myself a job that has nothing to do with the photography. It has nothing to do like creatively. And but it's a job, wow, like it brings me to places. That's how I got to go to, okay, Chicago, Tennessee, okay, for New York for the first time. And yeah, then I just started to shoot like purely for fun, for learning, for experimenting. And I still like now, right now, I still like shoot weddings and shoot whatever like it pays at the moment to, you know, pay the bills, pay for all the film and processing and all that stuff. It's really expensive.
But it really is. Yeah.
But yeah, like last year was pretty much a full stop on like thinking about client, thinking about like building a business. I just stopped and do my own thing for a little bit.
I mean, good for you. That's like, you know, people usually go the other way, right? They like quit their day job to like pursue photography. But good for you for realizing like I need to scale it back to figure out what I actually want to do with photography. Because that's how a lot of people get burnt out and then don't find joy in it anymore. And like that's the worst thing that happens. It ruins it, yeah. So I think that's equally as scary.
I have a friend who came to me and asked if they want to pursue photography, if they would like quit their job on day one and just head into like building a photography, getting paid as a photographer and the work and everything. And I always tell them, do not quit your day job at first. I pretty much like head in, like right after I graduated, I just jumped right in. One of my very first gig was I shot a wedding for $150.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yep. A 10 hour full day wedding. I didn't do anything else but like jump right in freelance, and that was very pressured. And also I think part of the reason I was such a pushover and I was like saying yes to everything because I really needed to work. I always tell my friend, if you have a day job that pays your bill and covers everything, just do that and take photos on weekends. That way you can hold your ground, you know, you can like shoot the things you think it's good for you to like build your style and just say no to the job that's just not right. I think it's much easier to build a business that way than something I did that's like jumping all over the place.
Yeah, then you have to piece it all together, right? Like when you look at your body of work and there's just like so much stuff and you're like, this isn't, who's gonna want, hi, you know?
Yeah.
You have to like, then you have to kind of go back and start like, you know, attracting the clients that you want to do.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, which is harder to do when you're just like, yeah, I'll do anything ever, all the time, ever, always. And you're like, no, I want this one specific client. Like, then you have to like spread.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that where you are now? Or do you feel like you've kind of, or are you still in your break from it all?
I'm still kind of in the break of it. I took like enough work to just cover the ground, but I feel like if down the road at one point I'm going back into it, I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to be able to like, this is what I do, this is a very specific thing I do, and if you hire me, you hire me to do this. Like I don't do everything.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
I wanted to be able to like build myself to a point like that I can do that, and I can like confidently say like this is what I do. Like I can confidently say no to everything else. I think I'm not quite there yet, but that's like business wise. Working photographer-wise, that's my goal to build myself towards, I think.
That's a great.
That's exciting, though. Yeah, that's exciting to give yourself a, you know, a goal like that. And again, I think when you how you're doing now, like where you're doing photography for, you know, YouTube and for personal pleasure and stuff like that, you learn so much. Like you just learn so much in a short amount of time. Like when it's all about you and the camera and the film stock and or the whatever, you know, it's just when did it turn into, you know, because you were doing, you know, weddings and portraits and stuff like that. When did it turn into more of like a personal thing for you? When did you start like seeking the art? Because I watched your Why We Love Film video and it's so good. I recommend if anybody's listening, go watch that video. It's a great video. And it that you said you took those pictures like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just I couldn't think of me who I am today, like putting together a, you know, I've only been really focusing on shooting and being into it for the last probably 10 or 12 years, you know, and I couldn't think of Tim from 10, 12 years ago coming up with a project like that. You going through those old pictures of the parade and all that stuff and just, did you know what you were doing then or was it just kind of like you were there with a camera or did you go there goal in mind or like how is it all coming together?
Not really. Like, back then, when I took those photos, I have no idea what... I was in school for photography back then. I think that was part of like school project or whatever. Like, I'm already like going out taking pictures pretty much like very often. But the interesting thing is, I feel like a lot of things I learned about photography, a lot of things I know about photography now, majority of them are not from school. Technical things the school taught me, I don't remember them anymore because I don't practice them. After I graduate.
Same.
But a lot of the stuff I learned later by doing it, by making those YouTube videos. When I was in school, like I did not understand Diane Abbas and like I don't understand the importance of like Ansel Adam, like those things it just got thrown to me. And I think back at the time I was like young and just don't have enough brain to comprehend you know, those master's work. It's just there. I have a list of name I'm given to a bunch of book and but I don't understand them. Like, I don't understand on a deeper level. But like after I'm growing older and now I look back to all of the stuff I've taught in school, now they start to make sense. Like now I look at the book from all of the photographers we were introduced to like years ago. Like now they just started to make sense to me, like why they do that and like why they took picture, why they took the picture they took and why this specific photographer are interested in this area of work and why they, you know, like I think my age and my life experience now made me understand more what I've learned years and years ago. Back then, I had no idea. I'm just carrying my camera around and took whatever photos I think I wanted to take. So I think I also said that in my video. It's purely instinct. And I feel that's isn't that the beauty of photography? Like when you know nothing and you just shoot for purely like fun, you have this urge of press the shutter and now I feel like it's a double-edged sword, like learning photography, because now you've known so much and you think about lighting, you think about composition, you think about, you know, all of this kind of things. And there's so much like calculation in your head that's happening while you're taking photo. The pure urge of press the shutter becomes so much more complicated. I feel like part of the reason, like, I stepped back and slowed down trying to, like, do my own thing for a little bit. I think I wanted to find the urge back. I wanted to be able mm-hmm. to just shoot without calculating too much. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. Like, back then...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Back then, it's just not thinking too much and just shoot. I have no idea what I was doing.
I love that, though, because... Yeah, when you think about people, when they say, like, oh, you have an eye for photography, they're really just saying, like, you have an innate ability to sense when a photo is good, whether or not we know what shutter speed to pick or, like, what f-stop to pick. Like, I think the greatest compliment you can give somebody is telling them that, like, you have an eye for photography. That means you without all of that stuff, you're good at it. You know, because the technical stuff can get you can light everything perfect. You can make the best technical photo ever. But if it's not pleasing to look at, it's like, meh.
Yeah,
you know,
that's why I think learning photography, it's a double edged sword. And also more, you know, you just becomes, how I put this, like, more, you know, more work you see. I feel like I get lost more. Because, like, back then, I didn't really, like, understand a lot of the master's photographer's work. And I just doesn't even have much of an interest in, like, looking into them. So I think that's part of the reason I feel like those photos are mine. Because I wasn't trying to learn from anybody else. Like, it just, even though
that makes sense.
A lot of them are just trash, but those are the trash I produce, you know? But later on, especially all of the years, I trying to be a working photographer, I tried so hard to learn other people's work. Like, I just slowly lost who I am as a photographer. All of the works I studied, analyzed, and trying to copied, you just lost yourself in the process of it. And another thing is, like, for example, there is one photographer, I don't remember their name anymore. They took pictures of trees. They would, like, line a background, like a backdrop, like a white fabric backdrop behind a tree.
Wow.
And they took pictures. It's like taking a portrait of trees, all sorts of different trees. I forgot the photographer's name. But, like, I had that idea for many years and I didn't do it. I was like, if I could, like, taking portraits of, like, plants, like the way we take, like, studio portraits of people, that'd be, like, cool, right? And you just have to, like, make this gigantic backdrop for trees and stuff. I had the idea for many years until one point.
Man, I need to see this stuff.
Right. Until one point, I came across this photographer's work. I was so bummed. I was like, somebody already did that.
That's okay. You can still do it and do it your way, you know?
But like, you see what I mean, though? Like, now I would never took this. Now I would probably never, like, try to do that anymore because I've seen other people already done it, and they've done it so well, and that's pretty much their signature in photography. Like, I wouldn't, like, just try to make that anymore. It'd probably still be fun, like, experimenting with it and, like, maybe even, like, I don't know, make a video of, like, just introduce their work.
That would definitely be
same time, like, fun content. I'm like trying to, like, do what they do, but I wouldn't. I feel like at one point when I see those kind of stuff, those are no longer my original idea. Even though, like, when I came up with this idea, I didn't know it exists.
I hate when that happens.
I know.
So I feel like less you know, you have less fear of go out and explore your own thing, and you see too much and you're like, this has been done. To be honest, everything has been done. There's there's nothing new anymore. Absolutely. You know, like now we're living on this internet age, information exploding. There is literally nothing new anymore. So I either have to do something kind of like just adding a little bit of a newness, like for myself, or I would rather not know they exist.
Yeah, I feel like that too. I feel like that too, like the not knowing they exist, because, you know, if you're like afraid to do one thing that somebody else does, it's like, oh, look, they're just ripping off that person. It's like, okay, well, they didn't invent this lighting. They didn't invent it. You know what I mean? Like we can all make it our own.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get out of the, like, make sure you don't get in your own head about it. Cause I'll be like, everybody will know that I got inspired by somebody else, you know, and they'll call me a ripoff.
I think
it's like a form of, what do they say? What's that saying? Like, it's a form of flattery.
Yeah. Imitation, you know? Is.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't remember it exactly, but yes, the words are there.
Yeah. I feel that is a true, and people should be flattered rather than mad.
Well, and it's fun too to like try something out. I remember I saw somebody doing something and I was like, I'm going to start doing. I mean, that's even how I started doing YouTube videos. I was copying somebody I was into it, and it was just fun, and you learn so much from that. And I feel like you have the chance to grow, and then you know, you start doing something repetitively and you start learning your own quicker, better way of doing things. And next thing you know, it looks like a crispy photo video or a sand video.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's one of those things of where I think we almost have to, like you said, Sam. I mean, what hasn't been done already, you know, what hasn't been done, we have to at least try it. I mean, the walking around taking street photos, the taking, you know, it's all been done.
Yeah.
It's all been done, but just doing it, and it feels good.
Do it your way.
Yeah, just, it feels good to be pushing the button. I love pressing the shutter. It's my favorite part of the whole thing. So, man.
Yeah, just like I said earlier, the practice I'm doing now, it's really just to stop calculating, stop thinking about whether if it's been done, whether if it's good or bad, or like just less calculating and more doing, like more just follow your instinct, follow your heart, to take the pictures that you feel like you have the urge to take. So yeah.
I was going to jump in about, since I brought it up, your YouTube and stuff like that. How?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was already going there, so it's perfect.
How did that all come about? We love your YouTube. Like, it's such a good, well put together channel.
Yeah.
Everybody, again, if you haven't watched it, go down. There'll be a link below. Make sure you click on it. Watch your videos. They're so good. How did this all come about?
I actually started this YouTube channel mainly to practice my English.
Awesome.
That's great.
I'm always very self-conscious about how I speak English, my accent and everything. And on top of that, it's to practice thinking and speaking logically, because I feel like my mind is a constant high speed running mess. So
I can relate.
So writing in English and trying to memorize the lines and recording and try to tell the story, trying to share my experience of learning, that all helped me build up a logic mind, I feel like. I feel like if I could organize my thoughts and if I could speak and talk to people without constant fear and distraction, I would be able to socialize myself more with other people, like connect myself more with other people, and be able to also like put myself out there to let my work to be seen. YouTube is, I think YouTube is, it's quite important to me now. Not YouTube, but like making videos. It's mm-hmm. it's quite important to me now. It gives me a chance to do something and finish something. Like I yep. never finish things. I always just yeah. like either like too worried about it's not perfect, it's not good enough to put it out there. Oh, yeah. Like or mm-hmm. or I just get way too distracted and I'll just start doing something new. I think the beauty of YouTube video is when one video is done after it's uploaded, everything resets. And now you can start yep. over.
Yep.
You can put all of the good or bad, the not perfect, the stutter, the music doesn't blend in together. You can put all of that behind you and just start again.
Start
and,
over. Yep.
Yeah. And I feel like I just love this like starting something new feeling so much.
Oh,
And also like making YouTube video gives me a sense of I have to finish this by a certain time mm-hmm. and I can't work yeah. on this forever. Right. And after it's done, like let's start over. And it brings me a rhythm into my chaotic mind. I'm just so addicted to that live, die, repeat kind of feeling. You know?
I love that. That makes a lot of sense.
It does, yeah.
And also, I think on top of that, I studied filmmaking when I yeah. was in mm-hmm. school. I wanted to be a director growing up. And then wow. after I got out of school, I realized making a movie, like a real movie, it's very, very difficult. It takes yeah. a whole lot of money, a lot of yeah. people, yep. like so many mm-hmm. moving parts. I think YouTube is the closest thing I can do to like make a movie.
I relate.
You totally
so
tell
much
your
to
channel's
that.
Really, really well done.
Oh yeah.
But
you can tell you're a film school person.
That's also my that's also my constant battle, I feel like, especially into the second year. The first year was just all fun. I was so into like, all right, I'm jumping back to film photography. I'm trying everything new. Yeah. I'm like relearning a lot of things. It's very excited first year. And then into the second year, there is this constant battle. One time I was on the street. I was taking street portraits and I met this photographer. I didn't know she was a photographer at first. I was like carrying my digital camera, my video camera, and one hand carrying my Hasselblad. And I was like looking at this yeah. camera, looking at this camera and trying to like make sure everything is good. And she just said, "What are you doing?" Do you want to make, and then I was explaining to her, I was like, I'm making videos, and I was like, I'm a photographer, I'm taking photos. And she was like, do you want to make videos or do you want to be a photographer? You Ooh. Need to focus. Because I'm like juggling around things. And after that, for a very long time, that question just baffled me. And I thought, Ooh. If I stop making videos, so first year, like I said before, like I started this channel to practice my English, and I feel yeah. like a year in, I already like sort of got rid of the fear of speaking English already. So my goal is kind of already achieved after the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after I got asked that question, I thought if I stop making videos, I would have a whole lot more time to take pictures. Because like making videos yeah. takes very long time.
Yeah, right, right, yeah. right.
Or if I don't take photos, you know, like now using film and like developing, scanning, that also takes a very long time. And removing dust, sure. Yep. That takes hours.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't take photos, I could spend more time produce better looking videos. But the thing is, like, I cannot give up one of them. Like, I wanted to do both. And I feel like I have passion of doing both. I enjoy doing both so much. So
I don't think you have to choose.
So they both now, they just have to like each sacrifice a little bit for each
other. Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah.
Do you think, another question, do you think you'll ever actually direct anything? Like, what about a short film or something?
I've done short film when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always struggled making short content. Telling a story in 3-5 minutes, either like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I get that.
Very difficult for me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
even my YouTube videos, if you look at my YouTube, they're like 15 at least, like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that though. Yeah. I'm glad. I love when there's long stuff.
Even though I feel like shorter video would probably do better, like number-wise, more people would probably choose to watch shorter videos. Like TikTok. Like all of the short form videos. I cannot do TikTok. I don't know how to crank things down to 30 seconds. So for one, like short form, I feel like it's very difficult for me. And for two, I don't know. I think it takes a lot to make a movie that I would feel like I would, it takes a whole lot to direct again.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to sound, because I know a lot of people like just take a camera and go out there and gather two friends and to like make a thing. Just do it. Just like make something first. I've done that in school. The difficulty, what's the word I'm looking for? The logistic difficulty of it, the struggle when you have a vision you wanted to make, but you are limited by everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Means, yeah.
Yep.
The struggle is too much. I just don't want to do that anymore. I wanted to, if one day I have a chance to direct something, I wanted to be at a basic level of, I have enough lights, I have a dolly, I can do like smooth. Rather than like, all right, we're gonna handheld everything.
Yeah, right.
You know
what
I mean? Like, I feel like that alone is gonna take a lot for me to get to that level. So yeah. If down the road I have a chance to direct something, I would jump on it, like
going for it.
Exactly. But I feel like I have a bottom line where I wanted to at least start from.
Right. No, I mean that's people don't realize how much goes into making even a short film. Like, you hear how much it costs. You're like, what? And it's like, I mean, we have to pay for even like everybody's lunch. Like, we have to pay for everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was watching like a period piece of like a show that was set in like the 80s. And I was like, man, even like the extras had to all have like the right hair and like the right clothes and like. That's like 50 people that had to get their own outfit, you know? It's like thinking about the intricacy of like, if you want to do something right, especially like you sound like you don't want to just do it for the sake of doing it. You want it to be done well. And like you had, like you said, a baseline of like, we're not doing steady. We're not just going to take two friends and like run out and do guerrilla style this, you know?
That's another thing like I miss about going to school. It's like, again, you don't think anything else but to just make the work. You make it happen with whatever you got. Mm-hmm. You have no money figured out. You have no like good enough camera figured out. you just use everything you got. And towards the very end, we all make a thesis film, right? We started to hire people, like we started work with other professional people.
Wow.
It's, again, I feel like it comes down to finance and like the budget. Yeah. I was paying everybody so little. Everybody is doing me favors
for working
on this passion project I wanted to make.
Yeah.
We were like a bunch of people like living in like one Airbnb, and our producer is cooking us meal every day.
Yeah.
Like it's all fun and all. It's an awesome experience and all, but I don't want to do that anymore. I wanted to be able to have a decent budget that I can pay everybody decently. I can have everybody living in a decent situation. I think that's part of the reason. Like, I don't want to just carry a camera myself and gather a few people and just like shoot things for my fun of it. I want to be able to do things for a little.
I mean, there's a you know, place for that too.
Yeah, of course. That's why I said I don't want to sound like I'm not. It's awesome. Other people they're doing
it.
Just me personally, I don't want to do that anymore. Like every time when I have a friend who is like shooting things out of their garage, like shooting things out of their living room, like it's I'm all like very happy for them. I don't know if there's a way to save it. Like, I feel like I already talked down. I didn't mean to like talk down on any.
Oh no,
any
not at all.
That.
No, I don't think. No. I don't think we took it that way. No, no. I did kind of want to take it back to your YouTube for a second, though, because this my issue that I've always had was I would only shoot photos for creating videos and stuff. Do you find yourself like saving it all up and using it for a video, or do you still shoot a lot without a video camera rolling?
Mm.
How do you balance all that?
For the very first year, it's pretty much everything is for the video. Like, I shot pretty much everything for video. And I work a little bit back. I don't know how other people works, but I feel like I always working backwards. I would want to go shoot something first, and then I'll come up the video idea to talk around the one thing I experimented or I tried or a place I went to. That's also part of the reason why like scripting and like editing always take such a long time, because like I just shoot a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, all right, let's see what we can make a video out of.
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If I can work the way I tried that this year, I would write a script first and deciding what I'm going to go to shoot, what I'm going to say about it. I come up with that first and then go to shoot it and then edit it. It would went whole a lot smoother and it would went whole a lot faster. But the problem is if I do it that way, sometimes the photo will not turn out right, or the photo is not. I think if I think the photo is not good enough to make an episode, all of the work I done beforehand, it will all go down the drain. So I'm still like, which way I go? If I want to upload more consistently, upload more. Sounds like the second way would be better, the more efficient. But man, like shooting on film, you can't see at the spot. Like when you see the photo, it's probably like a week after.
Right.
Then if it didn't turn out, or if anything went wrong with like processing, it's done. Like one week, 2 weeks
That's
of
so
work,
true.
It's just gone.
Yeah, it's happened to me a couple times. Where I've been like, forget it, I'm not doing this video.
Right?
These photos look like crap.
And also to answer your question, do I shoot... I didn't shoot anything outside of YouTube for the first year. But this year I started to shoot pictures, not for the video, especially for the stranger street portrait.
Yeah.
I guess I can start to call it a project.
Yeah.
It's not really meant to be a project at first, but I started to do that on the side without like rolling a camera. The last video I uploaded, the black and white video I uploaded, that wasn't meant to be a YouTube video. Like I didn't like...
It's a great video though. Great video.
Yeah.
I didn't shoot pretty much like any... behind the scene. There's a one point I shot behind the scene just because I want to see like how it looks. I want to remember how it looks on my video camera, like color wise, to compare with the black and white later.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't. I just went out with my camera and just shoot. It was so much easier.
Yeah.
When you're not constantly worrying about, oh, I gotta get the B-roll or I gotta get myself shooting.
Yep.
You just focus on taking pictures and it's so much easier, a lot less stress. I find myself enjoy it so much. So yeah, I would definitely be shooting more like moving forward without making videos. I don't know though. At the same time, I also wanted to put out more videos because I upload so not consistently. Yeah. My schedule is all over the place.
We'll be right back with listener question for Sam right after this message from our sponsor.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We also try to get a former guest for these. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this question comes from friend of the show, Raphael, 2071 photo, and he asks,
"Hey, Raph.
Who are your biggest portrait photography inspirations?" This is a good question. I would love to know.
I think to me, it comes like time to time. Wait, how do I phrase this? When I was younger, I really liked Tim Walker, even though he's a fashion photographer. I think he's more of a fashion photographer rather than a portrait photographer. And later on, now I'm growing older, I think recent years, I'm mostly inspired by Richard Avedon. And I also like Peter Lindbergh.
Great.
Okay.
I feel like those two are probably who inspired me the most. But at the same time, I also very much love one Japanese photographer. His name is Hiroshi Sugimoto. He is not a portrait photographer, but his work always inspires me a lot. He just had the largest exhibition in China last month. I really wish I could be there.
dang.
Japanese photographer Hiroshi Sugimoto, he's a fine art photographer. I think we should call him a fine art photographer. He took those pictures of like ocean. I have a book he made. He's taking the same composition, half sky, half ocean, for that whole book, like hundreds of pictures of just that. Like some of them really long exposure, and one of his another series, the theater series. He would go to a theater with a large format camera, and he would expose the film with the whole movie place. So you would see a blank frame, a blank canvas in the middle of it, and then you see the theater. Again, nothing to do with portrait, but I feel like the philosophy and the discussion behind like time, eternity, all of that also really inspire me as a portrait photographer.
It doesn't have to be, we get inspiration from everything. I feel like it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, music, life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know if that answers the question.
No,
yeah,
totally,
it's a great
totally.
Answer.
Yeah. I think Ted Forbes, the guy who does the art of photography, I think he did something on that Book of the Ocean where it's all the same, scene over and over again. I didn't see the theater one, though. I want to look that one up. That sounds very interesting, too. Yeah, I love stuff like that.
He also took portrait. I didn't know that until like last year I went back to China. I bought his book. He also took very interesting portrait. He took portraits of, what do you call it? Those like wax figure. He took the photo in a way, I think it's hard to explain it without like seeing the photos. He took the pictures in a way, he just put a dark backdrop behind them and isolated the wax figure. He took the photos in a way they look alive.
Wow. Whoa. I think I've seen those too, now that you're talking about this.
They look like real. At first I was like, how did he took all of these pictures of all of those like important figures in history? And later I realized, it's not real. But because it's done on a 2D dimension, it looks very real. There's a whole discussion behind that as well. I find it very interesting and very fascinating.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, check that out too. Great answers. Okay, Sam, now we're going to hit you with a, I don't know, we always say it's a tough question. Maybe it isn't. I don't know.
it's a tough one.
So I think so. If you had to pick one camera to shoot with for the rest of your life, we say you're stranded on a desert island, but it's a magical island. There's film, batteries, whatever. Does it hinder your choice? What would your camera be and why?
Right now, I think the answer is very easy for me. I would definitely taking my Pentax 6-7. I'm still in the...
They're going to say the Hassi.
The House of Blood? Oh my God. It's... I have such a love and hate relationship with my House of Blood now. Well, after after I got the prism, I just started to use the eye level prism. I think it fixed it. I'm still experimenting with it. Yeah. I'm still like trying to shoot more and find my comfortable spot. But I think it very much saved it for me. Because me with the House of Blood, it's bad photo, missing focus. And then I finally got one, and that one is just so good. But it's built, built off like a bunch of photos that's either like crooked or not in focus.
Yeah. The crooked oh my drives God. Me nuts. Yeah,
because it's waist level, I just don't have enough brain power to balance it.
I know. You really have to shoot with it like every day to get really good
at it. Now like after I got the eyepiece prism, everything, it just got a whole lot easier.
Wow.
The black and white video I made, a lot of the 6x6 photos are taken with the House of Blood. I found it whole lot easier to, for one, like, balance the horizon line, and for two, focus is getting easier. So I'm started to like the House of Blood. I know when I made the House of Blood video, like I hyped it up so much because I really enjoyed the experience with it, like the way to shoot it. And there are a couple of photos in that video that turned out like I really liked it. Besides the new camera, you know, when you get a new camera, you always like, this is the best thing ever, But later on, I feel like the stuff I shoot and the stuff I enjoy shooting, the House of Blood is just not the quite right camera. But the Pentax 6-7, oh my God, I'm still like in a honeymoon phase with it.
Honeymoon phase.
It's so much easier to operate, and since how big and bright the mirror inside, I can nail focus so much easier than on the House of Blood. Right. I still like miss focus here and there because the aperture is so large, but I feel like it's the right tool for me. For the things I do right now, so the Pentax 6-7 is definitely
legendary camera.
My answer.
Such a good answer. It's a good one.
I miss mine. I should have never sold it.
I know. I was just thinking about how you sold yours.
Let's not talk about it.
let's not talk about it. Okay, second part of this question, Sam. Is there any camera that you are dreaming about, like any white whales, anything you're like, man, one day I really want this one. Anything like that? Are you scrolling eBay right now for anything?
There is a lot.
Isn't there always?
This and that camera. I feel like after I got the Pentax 6-7 and after I start shoot with the Pentax 6-7, it kind of killed the urge of me buying more camera. I feel like
that's good.
I feel like
that's good.
It kind of ended my urge of wanting to try other cameras because I feel like I just find my spot. I find my sword, you know. I feel like
it's
this
a good
is
place
it.
To be.
And I have other people like ask me, Sam, when are you gonna try large format? I was like, no, I don't think I'm going to get into large format anytime soon because the Pentax 6-7, it just does exactly what I wanted to do. So there is, I don't have this, I really, really, really want certain camera urge right now, but the next in line, I have a long list of camera I would love to collect. Maybe not to use, but to collect.
Yeah.
I'm a collector as well.
I'm into that. Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. We're into that. We're into that.
Where I often see people like, oh, I sold this camera to get this. I traded this for this. I only buy. Yeah. I don't sell.
How? Yeah, how? I don't understand how they do it either.
Even though the camera I don't use and I don't think I would use, like the Rolly 35. Oh, man. Mm. I had such a difficult time using that camera because I just don't do those... What do you call it? Zone focusing?
Zone.
I just can't do zone focusing for the life of me.
It is tough.
Even that, like, I have friends that are asking, like, oh, if you don't use this camera, you can sell it to me. I was like, no, I do not want to sell.
Nope.
Yeah. Hoarding. We're hoarders. Yeah. We have a problem.
I still have a long list of a camera I would wanted to get. For example, I really want to have a good Pentax K1000 because that's the camera I learned photography on. I learned like black and white. I learned like how to process black and white. All of that I learned with that camera.
Yeah,
so that
you need
camera,
one of those.
That camera is like it has a special spot in my heart.
Right.
But to shoot, I think the next camera in line is pretty much like the only camera I would like to get and shoot with is the RZ, the Mamiya RZ 67.
Okay.
Oh,
because again, I feel like a lot of portrait photographer shoot with that camera, and I heard so many good things. I watched so many videos on that camera. It makes me wants to try it. Wants to see like what's the magic.
What's all the hype about, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much like the only camera I would wanted to get and actual try to shoot with it. And everything else, I'm just probably gonna get it for fun if I have the fund.
I hear that. Let me tell you, we know all about that.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Well, great answers to I mean, those are quality cameras right there. Sam, this has been great. You did a great job. I know you were nervous in the beginning, but thank you for taking the time to finally got you schedule wise, everybody able to get you on the show. So we're thankful that thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Like I hope I didn't like mumble too much.
Not at all.
Where can everybody check out your work? Where's plug your YouTube, plug your Instagram, plug whatever you want?
My YouTube channel is Captured by Sam. My Instagram is it's Captured by CM because Captured by CM is taken.
No.
Dang
it. Hand it over.
I even messaged the person who has the handle of Captured by CM.
Aww.
I was like, I'm sorry, this might be very odd, but one day if you consider get rid of this handle, please let me know. So it's ITS.
What they
it's
say?
Captured by Sam. He did not reply.
No.
I also started a blog, captureduby.sam.blog, where I just archive my videos, and I just find myself a place to post pictures in sequence.
Yeah. You know what? I love that.
Cause I just hate posting on Instagram. Cause like every episode I put out there, like there are just so many pictures, and I don't know where to post them or where to share them.
That's a great idea.
We talked about that. I was gonna say that's like one of the lost art of like Instagram killed the blog.
Yes.
You know, I used to stare at people's blogs for hours.
Yep.
I mean, same thing with Instagram, but at least like you can see like a whole like story behind the work, you know, and cohesive. That's cool.
Yeah, I started a blog that's at capturedbysam.blog. Yeah, that's where basically you find me.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, Instagram and Threads at Timothy Makeups. There's also some old photography videos on my YouTube. If you want to dust those off, all you have to do is go over to the search bar and type in timothy.makeups. You'll find a bunch of videos of my stuff there. That's I do have a website as well. It's timothymakeups.com. I should, you know, probably update that. I was on a huge thing last time of updating this website, and then I, you know, life. But that's it for me.
Yep.
Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on all of the things. Guys, we're Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram and Threads. And that's it. Thank you so much again.
You.
This is fantastic. You're a huge inspiration.
Totally.
I hope you know that. I just want to tell you that. Like, I love looking
at your videos
and your work. And we should, hopefully we'll see. I'll see you soon in another photo walk.
One of these days. Yeah. I'll see you around. Definitely.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
All right. First off, Chris and I want to thank Sam for coming on the show. Sam, we had such a blast hanging out with you, getting to hear your story, and, you know, just an inspiration to Chris and I. We absolutely love what you're doing, and we can't wait to see what the future holds for you. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon-only develop and hang over there and a bunch of stuff in the archives. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For the Patreons out there that already support the show, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. Thank you. All right, that's going to be it for this week's episode, guys. Thanks again for tuning in and listening. Thanks, Sam, for coming on the show. Love what you're doing, and we'll see you soon with an all-new episode. All right, later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.